American friends. As I sit here in front of the microphone, it is difficult for me to know whether the relations between Finland and her eastern neighbor continue to interest you, radio listeners in America. But now that the growing acuteness of the Finno-Soviet dispute has led to continued violence on the Soviet Union's part, now that Soviet aircraft threaten the densely populated centers in Finland without the slightest regard as to whether they possess any military significance or not, and now that unprotected civilians are in constant danger because of this dispute, I have not the right to leave an opportunity to describe to you the latest developments on the situation unutilized. At its very first meeting, the new Finnish cabinet decided to continue, as before, to strive for a peaceful solution of the disputes that have arisen between Finland and the Soviet Union, and with a view to bringing forward new positive proposals for the attainment of mutual understanding, to approach the Soviet government through the Swedish minister in Moscow with an inquiry as to whether the Soviet government was prepared to resume the interrupted negotiations on that basis. This inquiry was answered with a blank negative by Foreign Commissioner Molotov on the pretext that the Soviet Union has recognized a group of a few persons, none of whom are Finnish citizens, as the government of Finland. As the path of negotiation thus seemed to be closed, Finland, faithful to the agreement she had concluded, appealed to the League of Nations. She sent the Secretary General of the League an appeal for the settlement of the dispute between Finland and the Soviet Union. On December 4th, the Foreign Commissar of the Soviet Union has wired the Soviet answer to the Secretary General of the League. In his answer, this authorized representative of a great power states that he can't regard a meeting of the League Assembly as called for because the Soviet Union is not at war with Finland, nor does she threaten Finland, but on the contrary, a state of peace exists between these two nations. This foreign commissar bases his assertion on the fact that the Soviet Union has concluded a pact of mutual assistance with a group of persons I referred to, calling this group a government. He describes the origin of this government by the simple explanation that the democratic government of Finland has, in accordance with its declaration of December 1st, taken the place of the former government. What Mr. Molotov's argument would lead to is that any adventurers who have been compelled to leave a country could, on arrival in another country, one fine day issue a proclamation constituting themselves the government of the country from which they had fled. The telegram in question will surely go down in history as a document unique in its cynicism, seeing that it turns topsy-turvy every law of logical thought and every conception of the attitude a person should adopt towards truth. In Finland, however, language of this kind no longer arouses surprise. The whole ruthless maneuver to which the Soviet Union has resorted in order to realize her imperialistic demands in regard to Finland and the other border states is based on a similar lie. At the end of his telegram, Mr. Molotov declares that the Secretary General's proposal to call together the League Assembly in itself reveals an act of respect for the Soviet Union. Whether the Soviet Union intends to resign from the League is not clear at the present moment. An indication that this may be so is the Soviet Union's threat to stay away from the meetings of the Council and the Assembly if these take up the question of the dispute between her and Finland. Finan has appeared to be allowed to lay her case before the League of Nations and asks for action by the League for the settlement of the dispute. Finan has done this in the consciousness that by so doing she is honoring, as always before, her agreements with other nations, and leaving no stone unturned to arrive at a peaceful solution. Finland made her appeal in order to show that she holds sacred those principles of international law and justice for the realization of which the League of Nations was founded. As a people of democratic to the core, Finland has tried to be a faithful member of the League. She has honored the stipulations of the Covenant and the obligations incurred by her under Covenant. Finland has watched with profound disappointment how the developments of recent years have led to a retreat from the solid foundation of equality between nations large and small, and the rise of rules based on force and violence. In the League Covenant, Finland has seen and still sees a great historical principle of fairness. Every nation capable of an independent, civilized life, with the skill to govern her itself, shall rank with the other nations as an equal. The same recognition of its right to existence shall be accorded to it as to the others. By violating the stipulations of the League Covenant, the Soviet Union has trampled on the most elementary demands of human justice. It has made violence into a law and made weapons the arbiter of justice. In the circumstances, the Finnish people are not in the least surprised that the Soviet Union is reluctant to submit the dispute to treatment by the League of Nations. The ghastly acts of violence which have been committed in Finland by Soviet bombing planes now show clearly that the present Soviet commissar of the Soviet Union, the present foreign commissar of the Soviet Union does not set the slightest value on the provisions of international law. But in spite of all, the Finnish people still trust to a man in human justice which will prevent wrong from being done. They know that the victory of violence will always and eternally be a temporary one. Although it may look as though recently every principle of human justice had been overthrown and replaced by brutal force, we know that they will rise again in honor, that then the right of a small nation to existence will be acknowledged and a place assured to it in the Committee of Nations in accordance with its merits. We Finns know that we are not alone in our belief in the victory of justice. We know that you who listen to me now, members of the great American nation, are among those for whom justice is as sacred as liberty, the liberty for which we, in our distant northern country, now acquiring its blanket of snow, wage our unequal battle. The battle would be still more unequal if we lacked your friendship, yours and that of the entire American people. For this friendship, we can't sufficiently thank you.
Tomorrow, we have the anniversary of our independence. Now, as we are attacked by great power, we wonder whether we shall be left alone to fight for the Western ideals of freedom and liberty.